Let me ask you a question. How many of you want to be happy? Can I see your hand? That's great. It's most of you. If you didn't raise your hand on that one, I have another question for you. How many of you need a hearing aid? The reason I say that is because a man told me a few weeks ago, he said, "Pastor Robert, I have to confess something to you. You ask us to raise our hands a lot, and sometimes I'm getting that age that I don't hear the question." And so I didn't know what to do, and so I just thought, well, if my wife raises her hand, then I'll raise my hand. I'll just be watching her, you know. And he said it worked great for a while until you asked, how many of you have registered for the Pink Impact Conference? And I raised my hand, and I got several looks from that, you know. So we all want to be happy. Well, this is the way Jesus began his Sermon on the Mount. The full sermon that we have recorded, the first sermon recorded in the New Testament. He begins with the Beatitudes, and we know that the word blessed means happy. So he begins by telling us, happy are those who realize that they are completely and totally bankrupt before God. Those people are going to be happy. Happy are those who mourn over their sin and repent fully. They're going to be happy. And then we get to the third Beatitude. Matthew chapter 5, look at verse 5. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Happy are the meek. That's what Jesus is saying here. Happy are the meek. And that's the title of the message today. Happy are the meek. Now, the problem is that we don't use the word meek a lot in our society. If you think about it, how many times did you use the word meek this last week? And when we think of someone who is meek, we normally think of someone who is mild-mannered, soft-spoken, maybe even weak, or a person who is easily a pushover. And that's not what the word means. Now, I went on a search for meekness as I was preparing for this message, and I thought, well, I'll just surf the channels and see if I can find meekness. I looked in the NFL, the NBA, the WWF, World Wrestling Federation, if you don't know what that stands for, and all I saw was a lot of overweight men in very small Speedos. It was disturbing. But I didn't see a lot of meekness. But when I did see meekness, it was always, and any time you see meekness, it will always be in people who know God, because meekness comes from God. Three questions today. Number one, what is meekness? Well, first of all, let me tell you what it is not. It is not weakness. As a matter of fact, that is the exact opposite of the definition of meekness. Meekness, according to the Greek word, is strength under control. Strength under control. It comes from a Greek culture that describes a wild animal that has been tamed and is completely submissive and obedient to his master. Now, I understand that we might not like the word tamed, but understand the phrase completely submissive and obedient to his master, because Jesus was the meekest person to ever live. And he was not weak. He was completely submissive and obedient to his Father. And that's what meekness is. Meekness refers to when we can be controlled totally by the Holy Spirit. When our strength is not out of control. That would be the opposite of meekness. When our strength is under control, and it is under the control of the Holy Spirit. Many examples of meekness in the Bible. Many, many examples. Just a few. Joseph, who was elevated to the most powerful position in the world, had the authority and had the power to go along with it. And his brothers, who sold him into slavery, come and stand before him, and they don't recognize him because it's been 22 years. They don't recognize him, and he's clothed as a Pharaoh, and they don't know who he is. He has complete authority, control, and power. He actually could have sentenced them to death. Or he could have said, "You ought to see what an Egyptian prison looks like, because you put me there." But he didn't. That's strength under control. Moses, the Bible describes him as the most humble or the meekest man on earth at that time. But that's when he was 80. Let me just remind you that it did not describe him that way when he was 40. When he was 40, he beat an Egyptian man to death. An Egyptian man who was beating a Hebrew slave. He doesn't beat him up. He doesn't just subdue him. He beats him until he dies. Okay, that's strength, but not under control. And so God looks down and says, we're going to have to wait a little while. How about you talk to sheep for the next 40 years? And strength under control comes into his life because he has the power and the ability, supernatural ability, to do miracles, but he uses that ability only for good. David, tremendous warrior, unbelievable warrior, can kill a lion and a bear. Incredible strength. He likes this girl. The king says, it's the daughter of the king. The king says, you want to marry my daughter? Bring me proof that you've killed 100 men. Gets him a little upset. He goes out and kills 200 men. 200 people. This is David. This is the Bible. I'm not making this up. He kills 200 men. Incredible strength. Later in his life, he's leaving the palace because of his son Absalom, trusting God to take care of everything. When he could have got his military might together and taken care of it, while he's leaving, there's a man named Shimei standing on the other side of the bank, walking along beside David, throwing rocks at him and cursing. He could have taken him apart easily. David was the warrior, not Shimei. David killed many men. He could have gone over there and taken him apart. But he doesn't do it. That's strength under control. It's all through the Bible. There are examples of strength under control in the world today of people that knew God. In other words, you have to understand that the connotation of this word is tremendous strength, tremendous power, yet under control. During the Revolutionary War, there were some American soldiers who were building, rebuilding an embankment, a defensive embankment wall. And they're rebuilding this wall, and a man in civilian clothes rode up on a horse, and he was watching this, and there was one man just shouting orders to the other men, but not helping them. And so he got off his horse, and he went up to the man, and he said, why aren't you helping these men? The man was offended. He said, I'm a corporal. That's why I'm not doing it. I'm a corporal. He said, I'm sorry. So he went over and he started helping the men, and he helped for several hours to rebuild this wall. Then he walked over to the corporal and he said, the next time that you have a task to do and not enough men to do it, come directly to me, your commander-in-chief, George Washington, and I will help you again. That's strength. That's under control. There is something about that that is beautiful even to us. When we see a person who has tremendous power, yet he's under control. And there's something that's repulsive to us to see a person who has power, but he's out of control. So, that's what meekness is. Here's question number two. What produces meekness? I mean, if the meek are happy, I want to be happy, right? So what produces meekness? Well, two things to tell you that don't produce meekness. First of all, being born doesn't produce meekness. You are not born meek. Now, to help that register a little bit more with you, that example, let me say it this way. Your children weren't born with meekness. They weren't born with strength under control. So it's not a natural born quality for any human being. Secondly, you need to understand it's not a personality trait. We describe people with certain personalities as being meek. Maybe they have a quiet personality. They don't talk much. We say that's meekness. That's not meekness. It's not whether you have a quiet and reserved personality or you're an outgoing person. That's not meekness. Can an apple tree produce an orange? Can it? No. Why? Because there's a law that God set up that each tree, each fruit, each plant, everything on earth produces after its own kind. Same with humans. Same with animals. We produce after our own kind. So I'm going to shock you. Can you produce meekness? No, you can't. Because meekness is an attribute of God. As a matter of fact, the meekest, maybe you never thought about it this way, the meekest in the universe is God. tremendous power and strength, but never out of control. Always under control. So let me show you a scripture so that you understand, and we'll get to Psalm 37 in a minute. But let me show you a scripture so you can understand about how meekness is produced. Galatians 5, verse 22 and 23. But the fruit of the Spirit, another way to say that is the produce. The produce, the production of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness. Verse 23, look at this word, gentleness. In the Greek, that is the word for meekness. That is the Greek word, meekness. Gentleness, self-control, against such there is no law. Now, when I looked up the word meek in my Bible concordance, I have it automatically set on the New King James. That's the version I use. It came up one time in the New Testament, that was Matthew 5. But the Greek word for meek is in the New Testament four times. But most of the time, our newer versions, like the New King James, translate meek and meekness as gentle and gentleness. The reason is because, again, we don't really understand meek in our society. We don't use that term very much. So in the newer translations, they use gentle and gentleness. By the way, in the Old King James, the word meek is used 14 times in the New Testament, and 17 times is the word meekness in the Old King James. Let me show you, because I know that you love the Greek that you're learning every week. And I know that you use these words in your language. You know, that person is just praus. You know, I know that you use these during the week. So that is the Greek word. Let me show you the Greek word for meek. It is the word praus. And I even gave you the pronunciation there of it so that you could pronounce it correctly as you're using it this week. We translate it gentle, but it is the Greek word for meek. Now notice the difference. The next word is praoutes, which is gentleness. The reason I wanted to show you this is because it's the same in the Greek as it is in the English. They simply add a suffix to it. Praus and praoutes. That's the same as meek and meekness. Gentle and gentleness. Now the reason I wanted to show you the word gentle is because even though it is the Greek word meek, it's translated gentle. Here's the reason why. Remember, there's four times the Greek word praus is in the New Testament. Four times. I showed you one, Matthew 5. Happy are the praus. Happy are the meek. Let me show you two more, and then I'll show you one at the end of the message. Here are two other times out of the four that it's used. Matthew 11:28. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. You ever heard this scripture before? Take my yoke upon you, this is Jesus speaking, and learn from me, for I am gentle. That's the Greek word for meek. I am strength under control and lowly in heart. And you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Now, can I tell you something about this passage? I believe it's the only time in the New Testament where Jesus describes himself. And maybe there's another time and I've forgotten about it, but I looked and couldn't find it. Here's how he describes himself. I'm meek. When he gives a description of himself, he says, I am meek. And here's the other reference. 1 Peter 3, verses 3 and 4. This is directed toward ladies. Do not let your adornment be merely. I want you to notice the word merely. That again says that God's in favor of makeup. We covered this a few weeks ago. Arranging the hair, wearing gold, or putting on fine apparel. Rather, let it be the hidden person of the heart with the incorruptible beauty of a gentle, that's the word meek, strength under control, and quiet, not weak, strength, and quiet spirit. I want you to notice the word spirit because I'm going to help you, which is very precious in the sight of God. Now, this scripture has been used to berate women for years. Shouldn't adorn yourself outwardly, and you should be meek and quiet. Well, I want to tell you something. It says meek and quiet spirit, not meek and quiet soul. Here's the problem. We have used that scripture to say to ladies who have an outgoing personality, you're not godly. You're not a godly person because you should be a quiet person. No, you should have a meek and quiet spirit. And by the way, men, you should too. We should have a spirit that's under control. Now, I'm not saying that our soul shouldn't be under control, but I'm simply saying that we all have different personality traits, and we have used meekness to describe personality of people instead of the strength of their character and the strength of their spirit. This is the word gentle. But I want you to understand again that this is a fruit of the Holy Spirit. The way that you get meekness, which is, according to Matthew 5, happiness. If you're meek, you're happy. Remember, these are divine pronouncements of truth. It's not His wish or His hope that meek people are happy. It's truth. Meek people are happy. So the way that you become meek is by submitting yourself on a daily basis to the Holy Spirit. That's the whole key to this message. If you allow the Holy Spirit to control your actions and your reactions, that's meekness. And happy are the meek. It is submitting to the Holy Spirit. Again, it's like the taming of a wild horse, and it's used in the Greek culture to refer to the bit in a horse's mouth. That's the word for meekness. It refers to the concept of a bit in a horse's mouth. That bit controls the strength and the direction of that horse, but it does not limit the strength at all. It simply channels it in the right direction. Without meekness, your strength is not channeled in the right direction. Let me say it another way. It controls the strength and the direction. Remember these two things, strength and direction. And let me use two different words. Without meekness, you have no power and no purpose. Because the Holy Spirit gives us power and gives us purpose. And He can't give us the power and the purpose without us being meek. Without us being submitted to His voice and hearing Him. So, that's what produces meekness. The Holy Spirit produces it. But I got another question for you. Here's the third one. What does meekness produce? What does meekness produce? Well, according to this verse, happy are the meek, or blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Okay, I just want you to notice the promise that's with this one. They shall inherit the earth. What does that mean? Does that mean we're going to get ownership of the earth one day? I'm going to own the earth. If I'll be meek now, one day I own the earth. And I can kick off the people I don't like. Make them go live on Mars or somewhere. What does it mean, inherit the earth? Well, historically, to the Jewish people, it meant the promised land. It meant that even when they were driven out, they would come back. It was their inheritance. This phrase is in the Old Testament many, many times. Many, many times, inherit the earth. As a matter of fact, the phrase, the meek shall inherit the earth, is in the Old Testament as well several times. And I'm going to show you one of them in just a moment in Psalm 37. Futuristically, it probably means heaven. The meek shall inherit the earth. There's a new heaven and a new earth coming. That's probably what it means futuristically. But is there a spiritual analogy in this passage? Is there a spiritual meaning? Is there a deeper spiritual meaning? I think there is. And I want to show it to you. Blessed are the meek. Happy are the meek. You remember, meekness means to be, you have your strength controlled by the Holy Spirit. That's the only way that you can ever have it under control. It's for the Holy Spirit to control it. You've probably tried to control it yourself before. And didn't do a good job. So it's to have it controlled by the Holy Spirit. So the people who live a life controlled by the Holy Spirit, they shall inherit the earth. Well, the word inherit and the word earth is a little different than what you might think in the Greek. The word inherit means to own or possess, but it also means to have dominion over. Not only do you own it and you possess it, but you have control over it. You have dominion over it. The word earth, now get ready for this, because this is going to really help you a lot. The word earth means dirt. So, happy are the meek, for they shall inherit dirt. Great promise, isn't it? Well, let me tell you something else about this Greek word. See, it's not the Greek word for world, not to inherit the world. It's the earth. It's the dirt. It's the soil. And if you want to go to the root of the word, it's dust. Blessed are the meek, they're going to inherit dust. Hold on a minute. Inherit means have dominion over. What were you created from? Your body. Dust. Let me say it another way. Your flesh. Think about this. Paul talks about warring against the flesh. That the flesh wars against the spirit and the spirit wars against the flesh. We're told that we need to fight against the flesh. We're told that we need to war against the fleshly appetites and the lusts of the flesh. Okay, listen to me. This you are going to like. You ready? Blessed and happy are the people who are controlled by the Holy Spirit, for they shall have dominion over their flesh. This is where you clap, by the way. Okay. Is that good? I think that's the spiritual meaning of this verse. I think that when we submit to the Holy Spirit, that's what gives us the power to control the appetites and the lusts of the flesh. And I think that's what he's saying here. I do think that we'll inherit heaven. I do believe we'll inherit a new heaven, new earth. But I'm telling you that I think in all of these Beatitudes, there is a now principle. Like in the first one, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom. Not theirs will be the kingdom. Theirs is right now. They walk in the kingdom right now. Now, look at Psalm 37, because I want to show you another benefit of being meek. Psalm 37, verse 7. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Do not fret because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who brings wicked schemes to pass. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Do not fret. It only causes harm. Notice it doesn't help. It actually hurts. Hinders. Verse 9. For evildoers shall be cut off. Watch this. But those who wait on the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. You remember what Pastor John preached on last week? Waiting on the Lord. When the Lord took me to that, and I thought it was a great message, by the way. I was on the elders' retreat, but I heard the message afterwards. And I thought he did a fabulous job. But when the Lord took me to this passage, and I saw this, those who wait on the Lord shall inherit the earth. I'm preaching on this week. He preached on waiting on the Lord last week. I thought to myself, you know, it's kind of like this was planned. Those who wait on the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. For yet a little while, and the wicked shall be no more. Indeed, you will look carefully for his place, but it shall be no more. But the meek, here it is, Old Testament, just what Jesus said, the meek shall inherit the earth. And, watch this benefit, shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. Abundance means more than enough. Hey, would you like to have an abundance of peace? Yeah. Anyone here say, you know, God, I just got too much peace. No more peace. I'm just overloaded with peace. I don't need any more peace. Abundance means more than enough. Would you like to have more than enough peace? Meek people have it. What it's all about. Don't fret. Let me tell you what meekness produces. No fretting, no worry. You want to know why? Because God's in control. A meek person understands that God is in control, so they don't have to fret and they don't have to worry. And he says, cease from anger. Let me tell you something else meekness produces in you. No more outbursts of anger. You know why we have outbursts of anger? Because we don't believe God's in control. We need to control the situation. Meekness says the Holy Spirit will take care of this. Hey, no more, listen to me carefully, no more knock down, drag out fights. You say, well, hold on now. I take issue with that. I don't know about that. What do you mean no more, you know, knock down, drag out fights? I can tell you why. It takes two to argue. A soft answer. Okay, that's not a wish of God. That's a divine proclamation of truth. And meekness is able to sit there calmly when you're being attacked harshly. That's what meekness is. It's strength under control. That you can trust God to take care of the situation. Meekness, let me say it another way. Meekness is calm in the midst of a relational storm. Let me ask you this. You ever had a relational storm? Well, let me ask you this. You ever been in a relationship? Isn't it amazing, too? It's called relationship. Like a ship. I thought it was good. Never mind. relationship. Relationships go through storms. Here's the great thing. Meekness allows you to sleep in the bottom of the boat when you're in a storm, because God's in control. And you know He is. And I can guarantee you, if you're in any type of relationship, friendship, if you're in co-workers, family, marriage, you're going to have storms. And you know why you're going to have storms when you're in a relationship with other people? Because they're not perfect. And neither are you. When you're in a relationship, you go through floods, droughts. You ever had a drought in a relationship? Thunder and lightning, storms. You know, people say they're a match made in heaven. So are thunder and lightning. Meekness allows you to have peace in the midst of a relational storm. None of these out of control arguments. You ever had them? You just need one meek person to stop an out of control fight. Just one. And obviously, the meekest person to have ever lived, walked this earth, is Jesus. Let me show you just a few scriptures about Jesus. 2 Corinthians 10:1. Now I, Paul, myself am pleading with you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ. Remember I told you the word meek, the Greek word, is used 4 times in the New Testament. I've already shown you 3 of them. Matthew 5:5, happier than the meek. Jesus said, I am meek. And then a meek and a quiet spirit in 1 Peter. Here's the last time the word meek is used in the New Testament. The only time I haven't shown you. Matthew 21:5. Tell the daughter of Zion, behold your king. Look at the strength. Your king is coming to you. Lowly. And sitting on a donkey. That word lowly is the word meek. Meek. That's what the old King James says. Meek. Sitting on a donkey. This is when Jesus is entering Jerusalem a few days before he's going to be crucified. He comes in on a donkey. Meek. And one more scripture about Jesus. This is from the Message. See if you see meekness in this verse. Isaiah 53:7. He was beaten. He was tortured. But he didn't say a word. Like a lamb taken to be slaughtered, and like a sheep being sheared, he took it all in silence. Happy are the meek. Happy are those who will allow the Holy Spirit to control their responses. Happy.